Hey everyone, welcome to the Matt Report. I'm your host Matt, and I'm interviewing people who make a living using WordPress software. Today, I'm very, very happy to be interviewing Curtis McHale. I'm saying that correctly, right?
Yes, sir.
Awesome. And I am really excited about this interview, and we just spoke briefly beforehand, but I've actually been stalking you a bit on Twitter because I just love the stuff that you put out, and you remind me of myself in the way that you're telling it how it is, right? You're expressing these your experiences working in WordPress, working in client work, working with others. So you've been developing for on WordPress for the last 5 years. You're my first international guest, so thank you very much.
Yes, I'm what, 5K north of the border, really?
Yep,
a few miles.
out in Vancouver. You know, we're going to get into other things, like you are looking at WordPress not just from your typical client needs a five-page website. You're looking at it from developing applications, using it as a framework. You're an avid cyclist, so I see, and you've written some inspiring headlines on your blog, and we're gonna get into that too.
All right,
and I'm just gonna paraphrase, like, the cash flow is not my problem. I love that one. advertisers are starting to act like slime balls, which was also another good one. And I've had crappy managers, which I also thought was an awesome read. Before we get into all that good stuff, you know, take us down the path. Introduce yourself as a freelance WordPress developer and where you are now.
Well, I started out, I actually have a psychology degree. That's my formal training. I have a Bachelor of Arts. Yeah, it's that important to me now. I don't even remember. It's a psychology degree.
Yeah.
And I had been dabbling around in web stuff for a few years, actually, just kind of on the side when I was bored in class, which happened a lot. Actually, with one semester left, I talked to my wife and said, I really don't want to use this. I want to be developing full time. And she said, okay, but it was dumb not to stop.
Yeah.
So I had already been working at our local canoe and kayak shop doing some web stuff.
Awesome.
And I just kind of took it full time after that. I worked for a nonprofit organization that had print designers doing their web beforehand, but no real web developer. And so I took them from, now there's a lot of mistakes made simply because the print person didn't know the right questions to ask, like the CMS not working in Firefox, but then also not working in IE and then not working on a Mac.
Right.
And I held the developer's feet to the fire and said, no, I'm back charging you for any time it doesn't work. And it worked within a week, funny enough.
Nice.
And then I just, you know, did the general progression of you get enough work, and at some point you got to either quit getting more work or you got to quit your job, and I quit my job.
Nice.
So that's kind of my, that was up to about 3 years ago.
Nice. So how did you, so I know the typical role in a lot of us start off doing these really small budget sites. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to get into a little bit more on running that freelance business later, I hope, but you know, how did you find yourself bringing that small budget client up a notch? Did you bring them up a notch as far as budget wise? Every project, a lot of people I talk to tend to say, "Well, I'm doing these $500 sites." Everyone comes to me for the $500 site,
yeah,
and they get stuck in that $500. How did you get to that next level?
Well, I'm trying to think. My first site, I think I charged $800 for, and it was worth $800. Looking back at it now, it was not wonderful. Yep. It was not good. It was in my portfolio for like 3 months, and I looked at it and was like, oh, I can't believe I even have that out there. So that's no longer around, and I don't even think they have it on the code that I wrote anymore. I think even when I was going freelance, I upped my rates from $40 an hour to like $55, and I found that brought up the quality of clients a lot. And then within about 6 months, I said, nah, like 55 is not enough. And I bumped it to 75. And I've had a couple clients that have come with me from 55 all the way up to, I'm at 85 now.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, even at the beginning, large scale projects. So when I was charging my lower rates, they were still like a $5,000 project.
Okay.
The one in particular was, we worked with custom post types for a music show when custom post types were beta. And so they came from, a relatively large project up into the pricing I charge now. But I don't even charge hourly as much anymore.
Yeah, I think you wrote a blog post about that. No more hourly work.
Yeah, and I try to charge more on like what's it worth to me to do this? That's and there's a certainly a level like, I look at, my friend down the road is an electrician. His clients just want to find his phone number on his site. That's all they want. So, and he's, my friend. So it's worth less for me to do that because it's, and that's it. Whereas I look at other projects and I'm like, oh, this is going to be a pain in the butt. And so, like, it gets us another zero on the project.
And actually that's probably I know your blog post cash flow is not, or paraphrasing, cash flow is not my problem. And I think you wrote that from you working for somebody else. But I think it also has a good correlation with clients. If you're building, let's say, an application that's going to make them money, and then you've done this work and you've built this application for them, let's just say it's an e-commerce store or something, and then they come back to you and say, this thing isn't even working. Well, it's not my fault. It's not, I mean, I've technically built this for you. You could make $1 million or you could make $5. It's up to you to get out there and do that.
That's certainly another way to look at it, but I try to head that off at the beginning. So when we build the site, the first thing I try to analyze is what are your business success goals, right? So even with the revision, so I was talking about it yesterday, actually, with not a client, but with the school I used to go to. They were revamping part of their student services, and I said, "Well, how do you know it succeeded?" And they're like, "Well, I don't know. Is it because students are coming back? Is it because you filled out a survey and the students said they like this more? Otherwise, you just don't know if you spent worthwhile money at all." And sometimes you may come back and say, okay, this big change we did, we thought it would work, but it didn't really change the metrics. So, we have to revisit and see how we, conversion rates is a good one in an e-commerce store. Does moving this button, from an inquire, making the inquire button less emphasis than the add to cart button, does that make people add to cart more? So that's where I try to start with it right from the beginning. And we try to evaluate in the stages, is this starting to meet our business goals? Whether we're looking at user testing, for continued engagement, able to find better articles or related articles easier. We start with that. I typically start with that in wireframing and then into design. And then we can kind of incrementally step through and make sure that we're accomplishing our business goals at every stage. Because at a certain point, it comes down to a business goal for everyone. There has to be a proper return on investment for my time put into that.
Is it a fair statement to say that if you want to become a professional WordPress developer, professional, is it fair to say that in today's day and age, you can't just be, the code jockey who's sitting in his mom's basement? You have to be the go-to guy or gal who knows how to do A/B split testing, who knows how to look at analytics. Do you think that that's important? Especially if you're in the freelance, where typically it might be just yourself dealing with a client. Should you have a little taste of design? What are your thoughts on that, on having more than just a developer's mindset?
I think it depends what you want to earn, really. If you're building yourself just as a code jockey, it's, what a designer would call as a pixel pusher sometimes, right? That's you're just client says, I want this, you build it, end of discussion. So that's fine, but that tops out what you can charge, right? So even yesterday I was talking with the clients and we were talking about a new admin dashboard for them. And we were actually talking about kind of sticking it in WordPress. And so my discussion was, let's take it a step back even further. What are your problems? And yes, we can solve them inside the WordPress dashboard, sort of, but it constrains us in some way. So building a custom dashboard is better, right? So, and I try to build myself more as a consultant now, as opposed to just a WordPress developer. We solve your problems. I actually have experience doing some Rails work, mostly front end, and I hire people for back end. I've worked with lots of e-commerce solutions that are not inside WordPress. Just most of my work is WordPress related. So yeah, you can just be a code monkey or just write the code, but it's going to limit what you can charge.
You said it right. I mean, you're a consultant. It's not just, I try to, I'm not a developer. I'm not a designer. I can do a little bit of both, but I know my limitations with that. And so my expertise, if you will, would be just client relations, business development, getting out there and connecting the people. And I say I'm an architect. I can envision where things should go, and I can help the client, you know, lay out the site. But then I have a team of people that know this stuff, right? They can actually really put it together. And the biggest part of my job is making people understand what WordPress is, how it's going to help them with their business, with their workflow, and understanding why we choose WordPress and why we choose to develop on them or develop WordPress for them. But you said something interesting. You talked to a client that wanted a new admin dashboard, and we all love WordPress, you know, for our own personal reasons. What's your experience reselling WordPress to a client? Are they just like dumbfounded? What is this? You know, can you customize it to make it easier for me? It's already super easy. You know, how do you deal with that with the client in your case?
I think clients don't care, really. A client has a problem. They want a solution. They hire you to find a solution. You say, I'm going to use this, you know, I'm going to use WordPress. And they say, great. Will it do A, B, and C?
Yep.
And you say, yes, it will do A, B, and C. Here's how much it's going to cost. I actually have a blog post that'll be out next week, maybe the week after, about this exact topic. They don't care. Some of them will have come from WordPress, just as blogging, and say, hey, you know, can we use this? And yes, we can. But like I said, even getting into some, and one site we're doing, you have users are sorted by companies and teams, and they kind of get points for, and they're learning how to interact better as teams. So they get points for comments that are kind of showing their growth and stuff. So sorting users by comments, by teams, by points, that's could be built into the dashboard sorting, but in WordPress, but it's not. We can get a way better user experience by pulling it out of that and building a custom admin front end dashboard for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you talked with him about, like, is there a limitation? Will WordPress just blow up and we can't ever run the site on it because we're going to be able to, you know, because it's going to get too many users or anything like that? And there really isn't. There's a point where your servers are going to start to overload, where you're going to have to look at caching more. You're going to have to, you know, maybe hire someone full time to deal with, you know, you're balancing your servers and everything and all your IT stuff. But there's no real limit to what WordPress can do. It's an application framework in many ways, just like Rails is for Ruby.
Yeah. So what do you think, kind of going into that framework style, what's the most unique solution or app that you've used WordPress for? If it's something that you can talk about, what's the most unique, project that you've worked on using WordPress?
I think the one that first comes to mind is I built an athlete dashboard last year, and it allowed high school athletes to fill in their profiles for their, you know, for 10 or 15 different sports and their positions, and it let college coaches scout them.
Cool.
That was the kind of the most outside the box WordPress one that I've done.
Cool.
And yeah, that was, again, custom dashboards for all user types, custom capabilities. They could post into certain custom post types, and it was powered off Gravity Forms and custom post types. And
yeah, that's a good combination. It's a powerful combination, is Gravity Forms and custom post types. Love that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, awesome. Now let's kind of talk about, let's keep going with that. When you're customizing WordPress to this extent, if you're a developer, what's your take on supporting a client afterwards? I think we both chimed in on a recent post yesterday about, you know, if you're a developer, you're not just the code jockey, but you have to continue and support these clients afterwards. Are you building that into some kind of support plan that you have with your clients? Is it something that's like, hey, you know, here's what we've built you. If you ever want to grow or scale that product later, you have to come back to me and submit another invoice. What's your approach on supporting clients like that?
Well, for supporting the code, I don't have any support plans or anything. It's simply just me. So if a client's buying 10 hours a week and doesn't use it for 2 months, but then suddenly needs me to do 10 hours immediately, like, I may have booked projects because we weren't expecting the work. So I can jump on things here and there immediately for them for big problems. But I even try taking it back another step. I try to write the code like fully documented with the PHP doc block. I try to generate documents for them. We record screencasts on how to use things. and building it modularly as well. So if they have an issue, I don't know, with their point system, they can turn off one plugin and it only turns off the points.
Yeah.
So it's not turning off anything else. Everything else that would, you know, if there's other things that rely on it, they will deactivate themselves at the same time.
Yep.
I've thought about support plans. I'm just not sure it's really scalable for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I bring this up because I watched Bill Erickson, if you're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm.
I watched his recording of WordCamp and how and his business model. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it is amazing to me that this one guy is running like an absolute machine.
I know, 20 projects at a time. I got through the first half of it and then I haven't got to get back to it. But 20 projects at a time, I'm running like three.
Yeah, yeah. And I was just like, and that's what, and I was watching that. And, you know, we're a small studio here and there's five of us. And I'm like, 20 projects at a time. How does this man eat, sleep, breathe? How does he have any of this time? And but his contracts or his milestones are very just, you've got 10 days to come back to me. If you've, you know, passed those 10 days, you know, if you need help, it's going to be billed hourly. You know, you're going to feed me the PSD. I'm going to turn it into WordPress and you get what, you know, you get what you've given me, you know, through the designs. Yeah. So very niche. And I guess that's how he can scale, as great as that, is.
Yeah. Well, that puts the onus on the clients. I have and my standard contract says, if you haven't got back to me, if you just haven't moved the project forward in 4 weeks, I'm billing you for the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And any further work is billable. Like, and it's a new contract, and that helps put the onus on the client to actually get back, because that's the biggest roadblock is getting. I have one project where I unfortunately can't enforce that clause because they are also, it's a large business and very good friends ultimately with many of the staff and the owners. So like, it's been dragging on for a year, and it comes down to, we were doing a huge data conversion from an old legacy, like 10-year-old legacy database into WordPress and WooCommerce.
Yep.
And there was just parts that it wouldn't convert. Like my SQL on my laptop on my SSD does not run fast enough to get all this data through.
Wow.
And yeah. And part of that's because of bad database design on their end. And yep. Part of it's just because, yeah, it just, that's just how it is. Yep. And like, okay, so we need to sit down and we need to do this. We need to, you know, polish up some of this data. And they're like, oh, well, we have to do that. And it's like, yeah, see right here in the contract, it says you got to do this type of stuff.
Yep.
I could do it, but I'll bill you for it.
Yep.
And like, they haven't got back to me in like 6 months.
Yeah.
Really? They'd say, oh, we still going to do it? I was like, yeah. Have you guys done this part yet? No. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd, like most other clients, I'd say, here's your bill. We're done. If you want it me to continue, then I can. But
great. So for the aspiring WordPress developer out there, contracts, obviously super important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any stories about when you had you didn't have a contract and you had some headbutting with a client, or has that never happened? And how much effort have you put into building your contract? Do you constantly revise it? Is it something that is just something that's always maturing?
I went through it about a year ago and really kind of gutted it and got a local lawyer to look at it. Up in Canada, we have, what's it called? Canadian Legal Services.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically, anyone can buy a lawyer's time for like $50.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy like an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got them to go through it, make some suggestions, and that's done. Now that's kind of a one time. I think you can only do that once a year.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the only times I've had real headbutts over project is when I've worked with lawyers. And my standard is I just won't work with them anymore,
because
their default option was, hey, I'm not, you know, I thought this was happening. And even though I feel it clearly states, like there's no line item on our quote that says we're doing this.
Right.
They say, well, I want that. And I'm going to sue you if you don't give it to me. And
oh,
I want
geez.
Full refund if I don't get, if you don't give me a full refund, I'm going to sue you. And you're stuck at a point like, you know, even say it's like $5,000. How much is it going to cost me to hire a lawyer to fight this? Way more than $5,000. So
right.
You just say fine. So that is my standpoint. I have turned down a few projects that may have looked interesting because it's working with lawyers. And I said, nope. And they say, why not? And I tell them, and they're like, well, that sucks, but I don't know that I can blame you. And that's happened twice. Happened once when I was first starting out. They paid a deposit. We did some work. And they said, well, we don't think we want this anymore, so we'd like our refund back. And I said, but I did all this work. And they said, well, we're going to sue you. And I said, well, fine, get
right.
the money, whatever.
Yeah.
And then You know, even I even said like, okay, this is the amount of work I've done. You know, say I've done 20% of your total, so I will give you, the 80% back. And they're like, no, we want it all. Like,
Yeah.
oh.
Yeah, that's
So
just crazy.
that's the headbutting I've had. Most other clients, when I've had a good chat, like, we've talked about them. There's been disagreements where, they said, I thought you were entering all my content. And I was like, well, it doesn't say anything about content entry there. And I've entered in all the demo content. And, they were a little frustrated and kind of looked through everything and said, okay, you were building me the house. You weren't furnishing it. That's a great example.
Right.
So, then they came back and said, well, why don't we work at, we'll do 3 hours. If I can't get it done in 3 hours, we'll come back and talk about it. So they know the extra cost, which is, I will bill that hourly. And, we got through all our content fine.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
the only clients I've had that real problems with are lawyers.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it?
I guess.
Yeah, I think that what I've been dubbing the 500 club for these folks that are out there that are building the $500 sites and requesting the $500 sites. I think that when you put a price tag on a project like the 5,000, the 3,000, the 5,000, the $10,000 projects, you're already clearing up. Sorry, I'm having some trouble with this headset. You're already clearing up or clearing out anyone who doesn't understand the quality of the amount of work and the quality of work that goes into a project that size, right?
Yeah, so when I have an inkling of clients, I think there's a blog post later this week about talking about budgets and order of magnitude. So I had talked with a client, it's like, is this a $2,000 project or a $10,000 project? And they said, no, this is probably a 10. And I was like, that's right. That's what it is. They say this is 2,000. I'm like, no. Requirement one is 2,000. After that, it just goes up. So yeah, that's a big thing, is clearing out the $500 clients real quick.
Yeah.
So
And I guess it's tough for the person who's saying, well, shit, I've been doing this for 6 months or a year. It takes time. It takes time to build that up, and it takes time to build up probably that referral system of people coming in. You got to take the good and the bad, but you have to be aware that you don't want to be stuck in that $500 ecosystem. You want to be continuously pushing yourself up, or
Yeah, the
hopefully.
big thing is like feeling like you're worth it. That's where I was at one point. Like, am I really worth this extra money? Do I have the guts to charge it? But I mean, like, even in my basic, like, build you a website services, I'll install Google Analytics. And I know a lot of people charge extra for that, but I always view it as it's like buying a new car. You get the tires with the car, don't you? And like, to install Google Analytics is install one plugin, authorize it with the account, you're done. It's not a huge amount of work. I'll install, XML sitemaps and Yoast SEO and a couple other ones just off the bat. So I do provide, I guess, a few more things that other people don't, that I'm not technically charging for. One thing that I see in, I guess, younger or starting out WordPress developers is there's not a great mentorship program. I've talked about this with Blue Line Media on Twitter as well, about like code reviews, and there's not a lot of that going around. I would love code reviews from people on a regular basis.
I think I saw that conversation.
Like, I'm stuck here on my own and I think I'm doing it the best way I can, but someone else could look at it and be like, did you ever think of it, doing it this way? And, oh, I never thought of that. Then that is way better. But there's no one, in a team that you have that. I actually worked with 10 Up on contract for a number of months. This time last year I started and I finished in February. And that was one of the best things, being able to throw some code into our IRC channel or in Pasty in the link, and they'd go, oh, did you think of doing it like this? And I'd be like, no, I didn't. And you just saved me 2 hours of trying to make what I was doing work, because you had a better solution.
Yeah, awesome. That is awesome. I want to come back to something on that in a second, but you work with 10Up. If you're somebody's out there who's an aspiring developer and they're saying, "Boy, this freelance stuff is just really difficult. I'm in my first or second year of doing this." Do you recommend that maybe they go and work for a 10Up or another agency to get their feet wet, to get that kind of experience?
It is, you need to know yourself. So I went to work for 10Up because I was hoping, or I was wanting, like, a regular paycheck. That's something you don't have, right? I pay myself basically on salary, and but sometimes you're looking at the next week and you're like, how am I going to pay that salary? So I went to 10Up for that reason and for having code reviews. What I found out was that I'm not necessarily made to have a boss. And that's the reason I left. I wasn't super happy, and I think it's probably fair to say 10Up wasn't super happy with me either. And Yeah, it was not for me. That's all I can say about it. So the first step is knowing yourself. If you are not maybe built to having a boss like that, then no, don't do it. You're gonna have a pain in the butt. And if you don't have a good company or you don't have a good boss like Jake at 10UP to recognize that you're not bad, it just doesn't work. They're gonna go disparaging you. And I certainly have never felt that 10UP did that, and I wouldn't disparage them. They have awesome. They've grown huge. I think I was 6 and now they're at 18 within a year. Yeah, so and there's a risk that way. Mentorship is a big thing. I'm actually would like to rebrand and go into a proper agency specifically so I can do more mentorship, more code reviews, so that I can help, younger people or even other people, people who are do mainly theme design but want to do some more, more heavy development stuff like I do, so that I can say, well, here's a project, start cutting your teeth on it, and we'll, come back in 2 days and we'll talk about it. I have a real desire to teach. I'm a whitewater kayak instructor. I've taught rock climbing. I've taught, rescue stuff. I used to teach canoeing. I've taught tons of things, and I get, there's a huge reward in teaching and seeing someone succeed later on. I'd say that's what I'd really love to do with an agent.
I think that's a great, it's, I mean, it's something that I share that same passion, but yeah, definitely, it's definitely a rewarding field, or something to get into. So, knowing yourself, and I love that. I use that, kind of use that in my, WordCamp Providence presentation about understanding, what your capabilities are, right? And knowing where you want to be. And it just sounds like even for a 5+ year veteran like yourself, every year brings something new to the table, and you're always going to be learning, I guess, about yourself and about what your outlooks are, what your goals are, what you can actually produce this year, or whatever project that you're working on. So I really do like that, and I hope a lot of people use that and leverage that. Because you have to be asking yourself, where do I want to be? Where do I want to go? Is this really working? Am I just doing this as a side gig? That kind of thing. So that's awesome.
I think stepping back, and one thing I always say is you need to live your life like you're looking at your grave, and what do you want people to say? I could care less if someone says I was a good programmer. That makes no difference to me whatsoever. What I want someone to say is I was a good husband, father, and community member. When my job gets in the way of being those things, I need another job. That's it. And that's, I know I've interviewed at a couple different places who have come to me and said, hey, I heard you're really, you can do all this stuff. Let's talk about it. And that's what I always impress upon them. If I have to choose between you and spending a weekend with my kid, you lose it every time. There's no question. The odd weekend, fine, but you're going to lose every time. My kid is the most important thing, and that's the end of the story. I work from home. I started working from home, and I think, we had our kid a year later, and specifically so that I could go pick her up from daycare, so that I can go over and play with her, so that I can spend time with her. That's one of the big reasons why I'm home.
And it makes perfect sense. It's once you take a look at yourself and you say, "Look, I can't have a boss. I can't have somebody else dictating to me. I get to make my own choices this way. It's more flexible. Sure, it's that entrepreneur where you're paying yourself. You're looking at your cash flow, and you're like, "Oh shit! Next week, I have to pay myself. What do I have to do to get there?" So it comes with that stress level, but it's that reward level. Like you said, you're able to work from home.
I learned was that that stress is better for me than the other stress. And I would still say I am not opposed to taking a job with someone. It just needs to be the right
The right
job. It
fit.
needs to be the right, how do you gauge whether I got my job done that week needs to be gauged in a way that is compatible with me. If it's you worked X number of hours, that's just not going to work. Like, it's not going to happen because I get in my office at 8 if I'm lucky, by the time I get my help my wife and kid get out the door in the morning, and I'm gone by 3:30 or 4 every day. That is not 8 hours. Solid without taking a lunch, that is not 8 hours. So I'm not going to give you 8 hours a day. That's just it.
How do you separate? Now I'm assuming you're like you said, you work from home, so your office is at home.
That's mirror behind me in my bedroom.
So office number one is probably home. Office number two is probably a coffee shop somewhere. How do you manage that? Wife and child in the house at the same time, other responsibilities going on. How do you separate yourself? Do you put yourself in some kind of zone, literally rope things off so people can't come in?
Well, I'm lucky in that my wife works too, and so my child is down the street at daycare during the day. So 4 days, 4 work days of the week, they're out. Now my wife works retail, so she works Saturdays, so she has a weekday off. There is 1 weekday. I go out to the coffee shop during that portion of one portion of that day. I usually go out in the mornings, and then I'm back because my kid's napping, so my wife can, if she has to run an errand without the kid, she can run out and do that and usually get back within the 2 hours. In general, my wife is very, very good at not bothering me. She spent a whole year at home because you get a year off in Canada
Oh, yeah.
to leave. And she spent a whole year at home, and the first 3 weeks were rough before we had the kid, and then I expected it to be rough after the kid. That's fine. But she understands. She's really good at it, typically.
That's
I
great.
love actually the days that they're home and when, I can go downstairs and play with my daughter for 15 minutes, so I'm taking a 15-minute break, are awesome.
That's awesome.
But you have to be very disciplined. I found even when I work with headphones on and listening to music, I get more done than when I listen with speakers on. Even if I'm the only one in the house.
Yep.
I don't know why,
Yeah,
but that's it.
it's definitely one
Oh,
of those
great.
weird things. I do the same thing, same exact thing. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people when they say, "Oh, what do you do?" Well, I run a web shop. I mean, most of the time, the person asking the question is just like, "I do things on the web," or "I do things on the internet." I don't try to get into it with probably majority of the people that ask because they just don't understand where I'm coming from. But a lot of the people that in our field, especially those who are just starting out, they're like, "That's gonna be great. I'm gonna work from home. I'm gonna work from coffee shop. I'm gonna go from coffee shop to coffee shop," and spending $7, $8 per latte. And then they realize that once they get out there, it's like, oh boy, there's an overhead to this that's not just it's not just money. It's managing yourself and managing where you're working from and how you're doing that to be successful.
Think most beginners overestimate the amount of billable time they're going to get in a day, right? Like even this is not billable time for me, which is fine. I account that into my day, but when you look at your day, like 4 hours of chargeable to a client is actually a pretty decent day for a freelancer working solo when you're trying to do your marketing. You go have lunch. Well, that's not, go get a coffee, not billable. A 6 hour day is typically a long day. And most people I found when I tell them that, they're like, no way. Like, oh yeah, really? That's a long work day. 6 hours of billable time is a long work day. I'm not counting going to the bathroom. We're not, which again, if you're salaried somewhere, that counts, right? And that's most people way overestimate what they can get done, and then they book in enough projects for all that, and they look at it and be like, I'm working like 7 days a week, all day. Yeah, you are.
Do you find yourself, when you have downtime, if you have downtime, are you kind of splitting your roles and putting on your salesman hat and going to find other clients? Do you ever find yourself doing that, going out and like physically networking with real networks out and about? Or is most of your traffic just referral traffic or referral leads coming in?
Yeah, most of my stuff is referrals. I can't think of the last time I really looked for a client, to be honest. I did speak at a networking event, local one, about just real basic WordPress stuff, and I had a couple people give me cards, and one project came through that was, again, very small. Again, in the, $500 range, but what they wanted for it was me to basically install a theme and, teach them a couple things. So $500 wasn't necessarily a bad price to do that. Yeah, most of it's come through referrals, through apps I've built, through I'm actually very lucky. I know the guys at Brave New Code quite well, so they no longer do a lot of development. I don't think they do any client work, so they often have referred me people to build stuff. And that, especially in my first year, they turned it from a very, very lean, what would have been a very lean year, into a reasonably successful year for your first year on your own. And I, Dale and Dwayne are awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's a good tactic for somebody starting out is to connect with, either other studios or firms or even folks like you, who might get that, $500 job or something that you just don't have time for that maybe you could bring on and maybe combine that mentorship with somebody just starting out, you know, and passing that information on, or passing that, maybe not passing the entire client on, but, you know, getting some billable off of it or some kind of income off of it. But definitely a good thing for somebody starting out. Try to connect with somebody who can feed you some work, or at least educate you.
That's what I'm starting to do now. Even today, I have a long-term client who I've got someone else to do some of the work. She's just, you know, change this button, change this text work on their site. And I just don't have the time for it is the big thing. It's, you know, going to be only 2-3 hours, but that's, again, a good chunk of one billable day. Mm. And means, you know, that last hour you can't dig into one of the huge development projects. Mm. So I'm actually probably at the cusp of really needing to start as an agency and starting to get contractors on a more regular basis. Mm-hmm. But right at that cusp, you end up running, you know, as working so hard, so hard, so hard just to try and keep up. And at a certain point, it just explodes. I can't do it. I have someone else to help with this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the interest of time, I'll start kind of winding this down for you. But I do want to know, how are you able to blog so much? how do you fit that in? How do you get all those thoughts down on paper, if you will?
I'm a good ranter. A lot of them come from even the cash flow is not my problem. Another freelancer I know who is generally really good said, oh, I didn't get paid by the clients. And I went, huh. And I wrote that blog post immediately. And I scheduled it for the next week. Yeah. That is a lot of what I do. Or I'll sit down at night. You know, I'll sit down at night after the dishes are done and I'll write for an hour. And then I'll, you know, just spend an hour with my wife. My wife is looking for a new job. So then she'll be looking for a new job for an hour and I'll be writing. That's what I do. And most of them are only 300 or 400 words, really. There's not a ton of, you know, I've got some longer stuff going, but nothing that's complete yet.
Yeah. I really have to start employing that tactic, because I'm the same way as you. I come up with these rants and they're in my head and I'm thinking about them all day long. I'm going throughout the day and then I have a client meeting and then it gets, you know, 10 times that rant gets 10 times bigger after the meeting. And this is what I'm going to write about. And then I start thinking about all these points to the point where I'm like, I just never going to sit down and write these things. I have to get back out.
I think about the points a lot of the time. Yeah. Even the cash flow is not my problem. I have talked about that for probably 6 months. Like, I don't care. My invoices are payable 7 days. 7 days, because that's the Canadian mail. You can stick it in the mail anywhere in Canada. It should get to me in 7 days. That's it.
Yep.
And I charge interest on long-term clients that I've had for 5 years because they're a day behind. I say, you're behind, this is the schedule, you know it, here you go. And they pay the interest and keep going. I've only had one client that said no to the interest. And I said, okay, well, I guess you're not finishing the project. We're not continuing on phase two. And they're like, but you haven't paid the interest. This is part of the contract. If you can't fulfill it, you're not a client I want to work with.
Right.
And they said they paid it, but I still said, no, if you're going to fight me on it, I don't have time.
Right. Fire your client.
Yeah.
Real quick, any tools that you use? You know, we use FreshBooks for billing, stuff like this. Any, you know, two or three tools that you use that could help somebody else?
I am using Market Circle stuff right now. I have Billings, and not the pro version, just the standard version, and Daylight is what I'm working on. I've tried FreshBooks. I think I have a FreshBooks review if you dig back in my blog. I certainly have one from Harvest. Most of the solutions, they're pretty close, but they're not quite there. The big thing that I always fall down is if you're charging flat rate, like for a theme design, I haven't seen one yet that lets you track hourly time against it and say, did I even make any money on it?
Right.
Don't, right? And, you know, theoretically over time you will, because, you know, one was way easier and one was a little harder, but there's no way to track that with anything. And actually, even Billings doesn't have that, but so that's one of the problems I want to solve with this piece, and I have never found that. Daylight is really nice, like track all your files inside it, just like you'd think in a big project management system. Track all your to-dos, change from opportunities, and like how if you think an opportunity is good into a project, and it integrates with Mail on Mac, but it's kind of a per-seat license, and I think it's like $250. So
interesting.
I'm not sure that that's a good long-term solution if I'm scaling up to agency size, but yeah. I haven't built another one, and I keep just thinking about building it.
Who has the time to do that?
On Wednesday nights, I actually go out to Ruby on Rails local club, because that's the really only programming club, because I'm not actually in Vancouver. I'm like an hour and a half east out in the valley. So I go there often, and work on, one or two or three side projects I have around. And one of them is actually a full project management app for
Nice.
WordPress. The other, I haven't seen one that's even, in my opinion, worthwhile in any fashion. I think all the existing WordPress solutions are terrible.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, I think in Bill's presentation, he talked about his own that he makes or he made.
That's so with Genesis in 2010, I think, or 2011. Yeah, so that's, I've looked at a little bit. I haven't dug into that one. I think of, what's the other one? Brad Williams did it, I think, or he's one of the committers on it. And I say maybe CollabPress. I don't know. Anyway, the other solutions I've seen around WordPress project management in the repository, outside of Build, because I really have not dug into that, I just terrible in my opinion. They're not even marginally usable. They're, again, trying to stuff things into the WordPress backend that it's never really meant to do. So yeah, you can kind of make it work, but it's like 19 clicks to do something when if you built a proper front end for it, you'd just, it'd be drag and drop. It'd be easy.
Well, let's just recap what some of the stuff that that could help these up and coming developers. The first thing that that I've got highlighted is get a solid contract, know what client you want to go with, select or fire your clients is kind of another play on it. Most importantly, know yourself, know where you want to go. Know that ambition that whether you want to stay, doing developing WordPress as a part-time gig, or you want to be a freelance, or you want to grow yourself to an agency. I think those are all great points. And developing and knowing your limits, knowing your, hey, I'm not there yet. Let me seek some help. Let me seek some guidance from somebody else to get some to get some further knowledge, which I think is awesome.
I have done that on big projects where there's one item I just look at it and be like, there's no way. And I've contacted another developer and said, can you do this item? And they say, sure. And so I still do the whole project. And, that one chunk I'm maybe not making money on, or because I'm going to learn from it as well. So I don't charge my clients for just learning, things like that. No, they want me to integrate with a totally new system from, a Sugar CRM is one that I've done a couple times. And the first client had to pay me to learn it in some ways because I don't know. I've never done it. It's a totally different interface, right? Whereas if it's a WordPress feature like the add re the rewrite rules, which I'm digging into this week, I don't know, I'm not charging for all the time to go through that.
That happened to me recent, or not so recent, maybe I think somewhere last year, where we brought a client on and they were using Infusionsoft for their email marketing. It was just the worst thing ever, and we transitioned them off of that, and then a week after transitioning, Infusionsoft redid all their redid everything, redid their dashboard, redid all their software, their workflow, and it was amazing. And I was like, oh my God, why did this happen now? But yeah, it's always something that comes up. Well, hey Curtis, this has been an awesome interview. I could probably go on forever asking you questions. I think you did a great job, and I hope some people learn from this. If people want to seek your guidance and mentorship, where can they find you?
I'm Curtis McHale on Twitter. And if you're looking for WordPress stuff specifically, I have a WordPress tutorial site called wpthemetutorial.com. And then my website is curtismchale.ca, I think. Or maybe dot. I don't. They both end up at the same spot, though, so whichever one you try, it'll end up at the right spot.
That's awesome. Well, I hope everybody goes to say thank you to you for doing this and sharing some of your knowledge. Maybe later on we can get you back, and when you open up your WordPress Academy someday, then we can have you back on the air. So thanks a lot, Curtis. Thanks for doing this.
Not a problem. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, guys.